you thanks for this time where we can meet around your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts and minds to transform us into the likeness of our Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, and dwell on my heart and mind too, so that the words that I speak here may be the ones that you would have your people hear this morning. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me ask you something. Have you ever crashed a party? Have you ever crashed a party? Even in your younger days, I actually mean like you showed up where you weren't invited. Just walked in also like you belong, like you're meant to be there. Come on, I reckon Mark Hamill would have done it back in his day. Perhaps you've seen some of those movies. Lauren has. Lauren crashed a party. There you go. I wouldn't have thought so. I thought it would have been you, Ben.
She crashed a wedding.
Just like the movie Wedding Crashers. You know, back in 2011, during that royal wedding, they're coming, there we go. Prince William and Kate Middleton, their wedding. There's a story about two guys who decided they weren't going to just watch the festivities on TV. They lived in Manchester and they thought, we're going to drive down to London. The name's Thomas and Greg. They didn't intend just to line the streets and wave nicely as the royal parade went past. These two fellas, Thomas and Greg, were aiming for the after party at Buckingham Palace. So wearing their best suits, their sunglasses and with bags of confidence, they joined the crowd outside Buckingham Palace gates. And somehow, and it's still a mystery, they got through several layers of security and found themselves inside the palace gardens, mingling, drinking champagne, eating canapés. One lad even claimed that he complimented Prince Harry's tie. Eventually, a guard asked them who they were. So thinking quickly, they replied, I'm Lord Stamford of Wishamshaw and Baron something or other, and surprisingly that didn't fly. So they were quietly escorted out, but not arrested. When asked later why they did it, Greg said it was a once-in-a-lifetime chance to crash the poshest party in the world. We just wanted to see what was inside. Now, they became minor legends. The tabloids called them the Palace Party Crashers. That's what they were labelled. Now, that's one way to crash a party, blending in with a bit of charm and nice suit. But in Luke 7, a very different kind of guest crashes a very different kind of party. Simon the Pharisee is hosting a dinner. Jesus is his VIP guest. Everything's proper, everything's respectable, everything's going well for Simon, until she walks in. This woman isn't wearing a disguise. She's not pretending to belong. Everyone knows exactly who she is, an outsider, a sinner, not welcome. Unlike Thomas and Greg, she can't hide behind fancy clothes or a bit of smooth talk. She brings nothing but her tears, and they flow freely. She kneels behind Jesus, weeping, washing his feet with her tears, drying them with her hair. It's a bit of an uncomfortable scene for everyone, except for Jesus. Simon, he's appalled. What does he say? If Jesus were really a prophet, he'd know what kind of woman this is. And here's the twist. Jesus does know. Jesus knows exactly who this woman is. He sees her not as a problem, but as a person. Not as a sinner to avoid, but as a child of God to welcome. And so Jesus tells a story. Two people owe debts. One owes a little, the other owes a lot. Both are forgiven. Jesus asks, who will show more love to the one that's forgiven the debt? And Simon reluctantly admits, the one who had the bigger debt. Exactly. Exactly, Jesus says. This woman has been forgiven much, and her love, her tears, her extravagant gratitude, they flow from that place. Meanwhile, Simon, the religious host, the respectful man, he hasn't even offered Jesus a basic welcome. He's focused on her sin. He doesn't see his own need for forgiveness. See, Simon thinks sin is about external behaviour, but Jesus says, look deeper. It's interesting, in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 7, chapter 6 and chapter 7 connect together. And in chapter 6, Jesus has been teaching about the difference between what good and bad is, right and wrong. He's been turning the world upside down, saying that blessed are the poor, love your enemies, do not judge, deal with your own faults before pointing out others. That whole don't look at the log in the eye of someone else's, you've got a speck in your own. He teaches about bearing good fruit. A good tree bears good fruit. A good heart bears good fruit. A bad heart will bear bad fruit. What's the fruit of our faith? What's the fruit of what we truly believe and value? And that's where the woman, in her response, is different to that of Simon's. In other words, what's inside matters more than what's outside. And Simon's mistake is, and it's often one that even well-meaning Christians make, we keep a mental scorecard. Who's good? Who's bad? Who's in? Who's out? Who's welcome at my table? Who's not? Who's godly? Who's ungodly? And see, in this instant, Jesus isn't building a guest list based on status or success or some spiritual performance. He's inviting all people to him. And those with open hearts, people who know they need grace, come to him. The woman, she knew the weight of her debt before God. She knew the beauty of being forgiven. And so she came uninvited, but not unwelcome. She came uninvited, but not unwelcome. Her tears were not just tears of sorrow. They were tears of joy, tears of hope, tears of overwhelming gratitude, knowing that in Christ she has new life, forgiveness. She didn't come to earn grace. She came because she'd already received it. Maybe that's what we need to hear today. There is a place at Jesus' table for all of us, even for you. Especially for you if you're carrying tears of regret, tears of grief, but even tears of joy and gratitude too. Come to the table. Come before your Lord. Offer your heart and your life. I've had people say to me, I can't think of anything to confess before God this week. This was back early in ministry. Someone said, we do this confession, but I couldn't think of anything this week. I've had a pretty good week. Perhaps you've thought that before. See, when we believe we have little or none to be forgiven, our worship can become shallow, routine. Our love can be limited, like Simon. Yet when we understand the depths of God's mercy, of God's grace, like that woman, we bring our whole hearts, tears and all, knowing that even though we're not worthy to be in God's presence, he makes us worthy. Even though we may feel we're unwelcome, God welcomes us. So what about you? What debt has Jesus released you from? What are your tears saying today? Sorrow, gratitude, longing? You know, the greatest debt Jesus has released us from is from our sin, our brokenness. He's restored us to God through his death and resurrection. The tears of joy for the new life that we have in Christ. But maybe there are other things that are burdening you. Come to Jesus. Come to his feet. Receive his mercy and grace. Come to the table not because you're good enough, but because he is. And when you come with your tears, Jesus doesn't turn you away. Instead, he says, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. They're words that we can hold on to and take with us wherever we go. You know, maybe you've been walking with Jesus for a long time. You've heard the gospel. You believe in grace. You know your place at the table is secure. And praise the Lord that you do know that. I think there's also a challenge then for us. Are you making room for others at the table? Especially the ones who don't look like they belong. See, Simon's mistake wasn't just judging the woman. It was assuming his house, his table, even his faith was meant to keep people out, not to let them in. Mature faith doesn't build fences. It builds longer tables. So be the kind of person who makes space for someone else's tears. Take note of the party crashes, those unsure if they belong in church, in community, in God's story, and welcome them with the same grace Jesus showed this woman. Even just start with one person, invite someone to have a coffee with them. If you're brave enough, invite them into your home and share a meal. Listen to their story. Without trying to fix them or judge them. The opportunity arises, pray with them. Remind them that there's space for them too. Reach out across the table with grace and love. That same grace and love that Jesus has shown to us. Let me pray. Loving Lord, we give you thanks that you have welcomed us into your table. We thank you that we are your beloved, forgiven, accepted children. And Lord, we know there's many people within our own circle of friends and circle of life and community who feel unwelcomed, who feel unaccepted, who are searching for meaning and purpose in life. Lord, may you use us as people to be agents of welcome, to send out that invitation, your invitation, to come to your table. To give us wisdom and discernment to know how to do this, but open our eyes to see when those opportunities are before us. And give us courage to take that next step towards them, to help them come to you, to receive your love, mercy, and forgiveness. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.